Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that we can be gathered in your very presence to worship you, to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you, and also to hear what you have to say to us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kind intentions toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the scriptures, and we pray that the Spirit of God may be pleased to speak to us through the scriptures, so that our faith may be truly grounded in the truth and what you desire to communicate to us. We entrust this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. We are considering the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes, and I've been considering with you the revelation in the Old Testament on the outworking of church life. The subtopic for today, following God's instructions and the manifestation of God's glory. Following God's instructions and the manifestation of God's glory. When we read through the Old Testament, we know that God did not reveal anything directly in the Old Testament with regards to church life. However, as we read through the whole Bible, including the New Testament, we know that the role of the church forms a very important part in the heart of God and the working of His purposes, and this was in His heart even before the foundation of the world. So it is not surprising that God has caused to be recorded in the scriptures, including in the Old Testament, various major principles regarding the outworking of church life. So we have been looking at what has been recorded in the Old Testament regards to the tabernacle and the important principles and truths that God wants to speak to us concerning major areas of truth in the outworking of church life. The New Testament tells us, under the New Covenant, we are the temple of the living God. So remember, there are the major phases we've been looking at, and today, the Lord willing, this will be the concluding message on the construction of the tabernacle. The major phases in the building of the tabernacle, beginning with God's revelation to Moses, and then the faithful transmission by Moses to the people, and this is followed by the good reception and positive response of the Israelites, and this resulted in the construction of the tabernacle. We have gone through Exodus chapters 19 to chapter 39 verse 31, and we are now nearing the end of the record in the book of Exodus on the construction of the tabernacle, and we are reaching the climax, and that is the manifestation of God's glory. This occurs at the end of the book of Exodus, and by the end of today's message we would have covered more than half the book of Exodus. And hopefully our consideration of this subject can in some way help you as you read the Old Testament in the future, to be able also to be refreshed and learn meaningful lessons. But be careful not to interpret just according to your own thinking or fanciful ideas, but they must be properly grounded in the total revelation in the scriptures, and learning to interpret, appreciate Old Testament in the light of the fact that Christ has come and the revelation in the New Testament. That is a very important principle for us to bear in mind when we seek to appreciate the meaning God wants to communicate to us in the Old Testament. So let us now continue on with Exodus chapter 39. From verse 32 to 42, we stopped at verse 31, so now we continue with Exodus chapter 39, verse 32 to 42. So now is this coming to this point of the completion of all the work of the tabernacle. Exodus 39:32 to 42 tells us all the work of the tabernacle was completed according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, and then they brought the tabernacle to Moses. Exodus 39, verses 32 and 33. Verse 32 says, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed. The thus tells us what has already been recorded for us in the preceding verses and chapters, which we have already looked at. So all the work of the tabernacle was completed. And the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. This was important. Not just completed, but according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Not just here and there, but all. Every aspect, every detail, everything. And when we went through the various chapters, we saw God gave detailed instructions, not just some rough idea. And Moses faithfully transmitted, the Israelites faithfully did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And in case we miss it, the words were added, so they did. Verse 33 tells us, they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent of meeting, and all its furnishings. And then it tells us the glass, the boards, the bars, and so on. And from verse 33 onwards, as we read down, we will find that it tells us all the various aspects of the work of the tabernacle that was done, completed by the Israelites. And then verses 42 and 43 tells us how Moses examined, saw that they had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded, and then he blessed them. Exodus 39, verses 42 and 43. Verse 42 tells us, so the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 43, and Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it. Just as the Lord had commanded, this they had done. So Moses blessed them. We know this was at the end of the Israelites already having done all that was necessary in the building of the tabernacle, all the various parts. Not yet erected. After that, you'll see the erection. But they had done all the various parts, the construction of the various parts. But I want now to highlight this point to take note. To take note of the refrain in verses 32 and 42. Verse 32 and 42, there's this refrain, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. They did, they constructed, but it was according to all. First, what God had commanded Moses. Secondly, all. And then in verse 43 again, just as the Lord had commanded. This theme or refrain keeps coming through for the whole process of the construction of the tabernacle. Initially, in earlier messages, it was seen that Moses was instructed by the Lord for the construction of the tabernacle. Everything was to be done according to the pattern that was shown to Moses. Why is this so, that this refrain keeps coming through? Some of us may think, you said it once not enough, twice should be sufficient. Afterwards you'll see, many, many times, it keeps coming through. Why is it? Is it necessary? God wants to make sure we take note of this spiritual principle, which is of utmost importance. And I will shortly reflect on its relevance and significance to us today. Now we move on and we're reaching the climax. And the erection of tabernacle, Exodus chapter 40, verses 1-33. God instructed Moses to erect the tabernacle. All the different parts already constructed, now erect the tabernacle. So verse chapter 40, verses 1-3. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle or the tent of meeting, even the timing, when it was to be erected. Verse 3, you shall place the ark of the testimony there, and you shall screen the ark with the veil. And then it goes on. All the various details, how they are now to assemble, put together all the various parts that they've already made, and to erect the tabernacle exactly in the way God had instructed Moses and according to the pattern that was shown. Then as we move down to verses 16 and 17, these two verses sums it up, that Moses obeyed all that the Lord had commanded him, then of course through the Israelites. So verse 16 tells us, thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. So Moses was faithful. He transmitted, you can also say he oversaw the construction, but he didn't build the tabernacle by himself. All the Israelites participated. They all did their part. We noted earlier that there's a very important principle there. The secondary leadership got transmitted, but all the Israelites had to receive the instructions well, and all of them participate. All of them had to do it faithfully. Verse 17, now in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. So step by step, we see the whole thing taking shape, and now the tabernacle was actually erected. So I mentioned just now the refrain, and we see again this important spiritual principle mentioned, according to all that the Lord had commanded in verse 16. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded. But not only that, you take note of this refrain, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and this is the ending already, just prior to the climax of the glory of God filling the tabernacle, I want you to take note. Verse 19, they spread the tent over the tabernacle and so on, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then you look down, it elaborates further what they did, and then verse 21, they brought the ark into the tabernacle. So tabernacle is constructed, but then you have to bring the things in. But again, verse 21, it says, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then verse 22, they put a table and so on, arranged the bread and so on. And verse 23 tells us again, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then verse 24, they placed a lampstand and so on and so on, they lighted the lamps. Verse 25, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 26, they placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil, burned fragrant incense. Verse 27, again, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they set the veil for the doorway. Verse 29, they set up the altar, offered on it the burnt offering, meal offering. Verse 29, again, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 30, they placed the lave for washing. From it, Moses, Aaron, and his sons washed their hands and feet. All these were instructions God had given to Moses for the Israelites. Verse 32, then when they entered the tent of meeting, when they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So every aspect the construction, the materials used, how the people are to participate, how it is to be erected, and then all the various aspects associated. God gave instructions and the people obeyed. So verse 33 tells us the work was finished. Everything now was completed. Verse 33, he erected the court all around the tabernacle, and the altar hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus, Moses finished the work. So similarly, as I mentioned just now, although it says Moses finished the work, but actually all the Israelites participated. Moses had a part to fulfill, but all the Israelites participated. And then the climax, and this is a very significant event highlighted here in this way, the glory of God filled the tabernacle. Verses 34 and 35. Verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. But it didn't stop there. The emphasis comes again in verse 35. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The same idea, but again we see slightly different words, but a strong thrust that God wants us to make sure we catch it. This whole exercise in the build of the tabernacle was something important. There are important truths that God wants to communicate. And we know that the New Testament has been revealed to us. The role of the church and how church life ought to function is very central to the fulfillment of God's purposes. Similarly, the tabernacle in the Old Testament and how the Israelites would respond to God and the worship of God. The tabernacle, followed subsequently by the temple, is very central to their worship and service to God. The parallel there. And there are important lessons, principles for us to bear in mind. So we notice when Moses and the Israelites followed God's instructions, every aspect, with regards to the building of the tabernacle, then the glory of God filled the tabernacle. So this is the climax in the construction of the tabernacle. And it tells us also the manifestation of God's glory was so powerful that Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting. Verse 35. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It's a very powerful manifestation of the presence of God and the glory of God. And now I want to go on to concentrate on the key lesson that we can learn for our context today. And this is a lesson we cannot afford to miss or to neglect. When we follow God's instructions and revelations in the scriptures with regards to how we should work out church life, then we too can see and experience the manifestation of God's glory. And also, the manifold wisdom of God can then be made known through the church. We see this in the New Testament, especially in the book of Ephesians, and in particular Ephesians chapter 3 tells us how all this will come about. But there are major issues and principles along the way over the years. I have from time to time referred to various aspects, but at this juncture, in subsequent messages, I'll be carefully going through with you the major principles and the issues involved. Because in this whole big picture of the fulfillment of God's purposes, we are now coming to the end where I want to concentrate on the role of the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And this is at the very core center of the fulfillment of God's purposes. So in the construction of the tabernacle, we saw very clearly the Israelites did so according to all that the Lord had commanded them. We saw that this theme, this refrain, it pervades the whole process of the construction of the tabernacle, every aspect of it. It is highlighted and is repeated again and again in relation to the construction of the tabernacle. Why? Because God wants to make sure we do not miss it, and only that, that we should pay heed to it. So take note, all four phases must work out well in relation to the building of the tabernacle. First, Moses receiving revelation from God. There is someone whom God sees suitable to reveal, and then Moses must receive it accurately. Then the second phase, transmission by Moses to the people. Moses must faithfully transmit. If he didn't transmit accurately, there'll be problem. And then the third aspect is the reception. Moses may have been faithful, but did the Israelites receive the revelation from God properly, accurately, in every aspect? Then finally, the actual outworking and the construction. When we find that all these four aspects is recorded for us, that every aspect was faithfully carried out. And this culminating part especially, this comes through very strongly. Everything, all, according to all that God had commanded Moses, and then the manifestation of God's glory. And God's glory filled the tabernacle. For us today, we actually recognize that this principle of following God's instructions and revelation is actually important for every aspect of our lives. Every believer who truly knows God will love God and will want to be faithful to God and obey God in every aspect of his life. But although this is true, we find that if we read through the scriptures, it is difficult to find other examples in the scriptures in relation to other issues, this way of repeatedly mentioning it and the way it is highlighted and the way it is emphasized in the way it is done in relation to the construction of the tabernacle. Along the way, and especially just now we saw nearing the end of the completion or at the end of the construction and the erection, and just before the manifestation of God's glory. And as I said, sometimes when we read this kind of repetition, we wonder, oh, is it necessary? Once? Okay, twice? Enough. But again and again, it keeps coming. Why? As I said, in one sense, we have to obey God in every area. But why this area so emphasized? We should take note. From what I can see, it is not ambiguous that this is God's way of drawing our attention to this very important principle in relation to the outworking of church life. But first, we must exercise care to understand God's instructions and revelation in relation to the outworking of church life, and then to work out accordingly. And where God has revealed, there are instructions, there are principles, there are various areas that God wants us to observe in relation to our working in church life. We must not be neglectful. In one sense, we can say that this is at the heart of what God desires of his children today. In earlier messages I've mentioned, we can look at God's call for us from two angles. One is God's call for every individual. One by one we enter God's kingdom and God's will for us in our personal lives. But the other is the moment we are converted, God has placed us in the body. And God wants us to work out and express body life, work out church life. And when we meet him, these are two major aspects that we have to answer to the Lord. And related to this is the accomplishment of God's purposes. To what degree we can meaningfully participate, to what degree we have actually contributed, to what degree God's purposes can be fulfilled, accomplished well. Faithfulness at a personal level, and then together, and they bear a relationship with each other. If at a personal level believers are not faithful, there's no way you can work out church life well. But at the same time, as brethren understand, work out church life well, church life will contribute significantly to the positive development of all the brethren. They bear a relationship with one another. We saw in the Old Testament, regards to the tabernacle, the revelation, the transmission, the reception, and the actual construction, everything took place exactly according to what God has commanded. What about today? For us today, in our working of church life, the parallel. For us today, there is no perfect obedience, perfect understanding, or perfect outworking. For us today, in the understanding as well as the expression of church life, it is a question of to what degree we have gained insight, we have truly understood the major important principles revealed in the scriptures, and then in the practical outworking, how God guides, what God desires, to what degree we faithfully work them out. To the degree we are faithful and we understand how to obey the Lord according to the guidance as well as the enabling of the Holy Spirit, then to that degree we will experience the manifestations of God's power, His wisdom, and His glory. And to that degree we will effectively contribute our part to the fulfillment of God's purposes. But a very important point to bear in mind is that this is not measured by outward appearance of things. And that's where we need to learn to be discerning what is actually taking place in the spiritual realm, how God looks at things, and what is actually accomplished. Because the fulfillment of God's purposes, the furtherance of God's kingdom, takes place in the spiritual realm. And that is actually one major reason why I took so many messages to cover with you the series on appearance and reality. Because God's children, including ourselves, it's very easy for us to be unduly affected by the outward appearance of things and not so able to recognize what is actually taking place in the spiritual realm and concentrate, respond, work out, too distracted by the outward appearance of things and failing to concentrate on what really counts, what really matters. And these are issues that are very important, and at the same time we are not in a helpless state. God has revealed so much in the scriptures to help us to understand all these things. So I'm now talking about this major principle, but there are major areas. They all are relevant to the total picture. The whole revelation in the scriptures, there is a total body of truth. There's a consistent picture, a consistent whole. And the various major areas, they all relate with one another. They all hold together in a very beautiful whole. And we must together look to the Lord that He's pleased to continue to reveal to us so that we truly understand. But as we understand, the degree we understand, we must continue to respond well and to work out, then more and more the revelation will come. Let us beware of departure from God's revelation and instructions. In principle, God's children generally, they recognize that this is important. But I want to emphasize this point so that we will be deeply convicted and respond accordingly. So beware of departure from God's revelation instructions. Why? Because whenever we depart from or we go against God's revelation and instructions, or we may not be deliberately trying to violate them, or we just fail to observe them because we are ignorant of them. We have not paid sufficient attention to understand God's revelation, or somehow they are not working out properly, then there will be adverse consequences, especially where it is related to deficiencies of significance in attitude, in moral dimension, neglect, and so on. And we just move according to our own thinking, or influenced by people around us and what they say, and then failing to pay due attention to what God has revealed in the scriptures and what God desires of us. There will be adverse consequences. It's a question of degree. And there are actually a lot of adverse consequences that we can observe right through the centuries, and still very true today, if we are able to recognize and discern them. Why? Because when we depart from God's revelation and instructions, we will be departing from or failing to observe, to obey revelation and instructions from the God of perfect wisdom and knowledge. And His revelation, His instructions are grounded not only in His wisdom and knowledge, but also in His love, His goodness, His grace. They all flow forth from the perfection of His being. God knows what He's saying. Why does He give us the scriptures? It's not for us to pick and choose. All scripture is inspired by God. The critical thing is we need to recognize, understand what God wants to communicate, interpret them correctly, receive deeply, and work out accordingly. When it involves significant issues and the degree of departure or violation is significant, then the negative outcome will be significant. But as I mentioned, for today, there's no perfect observation. It's a question of degree. But in reality, it is a sad thing that God's children do fail to observe. There is departure in significant ways, in many, many aspects. And this is a very important issue for us to take note of, to be careful. When we talk about departure, then the negative outcome is significant. Again, it is from the perspective of God's kingdom, how God looks at it, and the actual reality will be that way. And this is true even when God's children are not able to recognize it. Whether you can recognize it or not, the adverse consequences will be there. And it is a sad thing that this state of affairs is actually taking place amongst God's children, including major things that ought to be observed but not recognized, or departure not known, and also adverse consequences taking place in the spiritual realm, also often not recognized. But yes, from time to time, it can become very manifest. Sometimes others can see it, but those in the midst of it are not able to see it. And I said, we all do falter and fail. There's a question of degree, how major are the issues, how widespread, what's the actual state of affairs. But it's God's desire that we understand and we work out in a meaningful way where God is pleased, where in different ways God can manifest His power, His wisdom, His glory, and He has much freedom to speak to His children, to guide, to undertake, to enable. So let us take note. It is the will of God that the church and the working of church life fulfill an important role in the unfolding of God's purposes. This will not change until Christ comes. This has been clearly revealed in the scriptures. And God has revealed His will, His instructions on how we should respond to Him and how we should work out various aspects of our lives. Here's a general thing. And this we see throughout the scriptures. God has revealed so many areas, various aspects, how we should live our lives. How much more so in relation to this vital issue of the outworking of church life. So it's not surprising. God has not left it to us to work out the vital issue of church life as we wish, as we see fit. In the same way, we have seen how God gave specific instructions on the construction of the tabernacle. There are important principles laid out. And then also subsequently, the actual working, the Spirit of God guiding His children. So, as I've mentioned, it is clear God has indeed revealed in the scriptures important truths and principles regards to how He desires and how healthy church life ought to function, as well as the direction, the goals that our working of church life should work towards. And in this segment, in the subsequent messages, we'll look to the Lord to consider them carefully. It is vital that we set our hearts to understand what God has revealed in the scriptures on these areas and form deep convictions. Before we can work out, we need to understand. We need to have spiritual insight. What God has truly revealed, and all of us have a part. Then we can cooperate with God well. Yes, it is true. God does raise up, and there are those to whom God reveals more. We have seen people like Moses. There are also others in the Old Testament, like Daniel, to whom God revealed regards the unfolding of His purposes. Subsequently, you look at renovation of the temple, what God revealed to David. I'm not so sure how many of you are conscious of it. God revealed detailed information, revelation to David regards to the building of the temple. Yes, there are those whom God raises up and to whom He is pleased to reveal more, but through whom the truths are to be revealed, transmitted to all His people. But then God's children must also be able to recognize when truths are being transmitted and then able to receive them well. It does not mean that the truths are transmitted, it will be received well. A very striking thing that we can bear in mind is this. In one sense, we can say that all the truths are already revealed. They are all revealed in the scriptures, and especially in the New Testament. God has revealed so much to the Apostle Paul, and they are all already in the scriptures recorded for us. And all of us who have the scriptures, God's children all over the world, through the centuries until today, so many of God's children, they recognize the importance of scriptures, inspiration of scriptures. Yes, there are those who profess to be Christians, but they do not submit to the authority of scriptures. There's a different category. We'll leave them out for the time being. But just to all those who believe in the authority, the inspiration of the scriptures, and there are millions and millions of Christians who do acknowledge the authority, the inspiration of the scriptures. It's all revealed. And yet, so much that is revealed in scriptures that God intends for us. There is no true understanding, insight. So, the Spirit of God who inspires the scriptures, and God who causes the scriptures to be there for us, is the same Spirit of God who will need to now grant us insight. That is why non-believers, no matter how brilliant they may be, they cannot have true insight into the scriptures, because it only comes from the Spirit of God. So this is a very important area that we need to continually pray and look to the Lord. Each one of us, as we read the scriptures, and also together, and then for the whole universal church, we are all part of the universal church, that God in His grace and mercy may have the freedom to speak to us, to reveal to us. But on the other side of it, a strong encouragement to us is that God, who inspires the scriptures, He wants us to understand the scriptures. So clearly God wants us to understand the scriptures. But the attitude of our hearts and the preciousness of the scriptures, and what way is meaningful for God to reveal and so on, it is not haphazard. There are reasons why God reveals to us, we gain more insight under what circumstances and so on. But one aspect that we can bear in mind, very, very important, our attitude of heart, but the other is also, if there is a conducive context in the working of church life, we can meaningfully look to God to be pleased to reveal much to us. Because that's how God desires to work. And if we look at Ephesians 4, God has granted gifts of people to the church. Apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers and so on, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So when we pray, you look to God, yes, God will be pleased to grant insight, understanding, and also guidance in the actual outworking. God wants us to understand. So it is vital we set our hearts to understand what God has revealed in the scriptures on all these major areas, and then form deep convictions so that we can work out accordingly with due diligence and perseverance. But our attitude towards these things must be along the lines that the Lord Jesus tells us in the parable of the merchant, the one who is prepared to sell everything in order to get hold of this treasure in the field, to get hold of this pearl that is of priceless. The kind of attitude. There should be attitude regards to the things of God's kingdom, how much more so in this core center area. But this longing cannot be just, oh, I want to know, I very much want to know. But it's the deep desire to know because we want to work it out. We want to be faithful to God. And as God grants us understanding, do we really value it, treasure it, deeply receive it and work at it? So we need to be deeply convicted about this area so that God will be pleased to reveal, and as He reveals, we'll work at it and we will persevere. We will not waver. We will not allow ourselves to be distracted. Whatever may be the obstacles, the difficulties encountered along the way, and the scriptures makes it very clear to us, there will be many obstacles, significant difficulties, and there are many, many distractions as we live in this fallen world. And the process to reach the goal, set our hearts, not waver, keep persevering to reach the goal, it will be a difficult path. Excuse me. The process will be difficult, primarily because there will be intense, unceasing opposition from the forces of darkness and because of the weakness of the flesh. After the fall, all of us are weak. And it's very easy for the evil one to attack us, to manipulate our lives, to deceive us. And the third major area is that we are living in this fallen world. These three major reasons: the attacks of the evil one and the forces of darkness, the weakness of the flesh, and the fact that we live in the fallen world. And I have covered all this, how all this can be overcome through the cross in the series Appearance and Reality, and I covered this in many messages, how all these major areas can be overcome. But not easy. But we need to understand and then learn to overcome. And at times, it's not even easy to discern and recognize the wiles and attacks of the evil one. And this is very clear. Very often, God's children have been under attack and already attacked, and yet not even know. And when they go through difficulties, they do not discern and recognize that the evil one is at work. And even many areas of difficulties, like working and relationship with people and so on. Yes, at times people may be at fault, but they do not recognize the hand of the evil one to magnify the thing, or even to cause various misunderstandings. And as a result, we blame people, circumstances, and so on. And at the same time, also the evil one will work in such a way that we then fail to recognize our own failures, but we blame it on this and that and so on. But even when we can discern and recognize the attack of the evil one, it can still be difficult to overcome. But it is clear, the scriptures, the Lord makes it clear to us, we must not shrink back. We must not be deterred. Once we shrink back, we are deterred, it means we are veering from the path of light and truth. It would mean unfaithfulness to God. It would mean failure in the areas, the issues of life that really matter, especially when we are talking about this response to God's call in the unfolding of His purposes. And when we shrink back, we are deterred, we fail to work at it, it would be detrimental to our spiritual life. And also, it would mean the degree we are deterred, discouraged, disturbed, to that degree we will fail to participate well, to contribute well our part in the expression of church life, body life, and the part that God desires of us in the accomplishment of His purposes, the advancement of His kingdom. But having said all this, all the difficulties and so on there along the way, we must also bear in mind the scriptural balance. And that is, there's strong encouragement in the scriptures. God encourages us to respond well, to set our hearts on these things that really matter. And when we respond to God, when we set our hearts to obey the Lord, we need not be fearful nor frightened. The spiritual opposition and all that, so how to work out well. When we set our hearts to obey the Lord, we can be assured the Lord will be with us. And the Lord wants to. He will seek to bring about what He intends for us. And God is sovereign. He has made all the provisions. He will help us. His grace will be sufficient for us as we set our hearts to walk with Him in truth. We seek to understand and to abide by the truths and principles that He has revealed. The Lord will be with us. But it is vital we continually look to the Lord, to trust Him, to understand His provisions, to look to the Lord to help us, to guide us, to enable us. And as I approach the end of today's message, there are a few areas that are important for us to continually look to the Lord, beginning with looking to the Lord to learn how to properly take our stand, how to submit to Him, and at the same time to take our stand to resist and to reject all the wiles and attacks of the evil one. That's a basic posture we must affirm from time to time and also learn how to do this. And I've also covered this in a mini-series on the appearance and reality on overcoming the evil one and his attacks. But we need to discern, recognize, understand how the evil one attacks and how to overcome. But not concentrating on the attacks, our primary focus is on God and his provisions. But we need to be careful that we are not ignorant of the wiles of the evil one. Discern them, reject them, overcome them. It will not be easy. Your spiritual warfare will continue. But it's in the midst of all this that the Lord has a lot to teach us. God in his wisdom has placed us in this context of spiritual warfare. Related to this is a very important area, the next area, which maybe we may even want to put at the top. We need to look to the Lord to grant us spiritual insight and wisdom. Spiritual insight, we see, we understand. Then wisdom, how to work it out. And this needs to be on a continuing basis. That more and more we will grow to understand what God has revealed, the truth, and then wisdom in practical outworking. Then we also need the Lord, to look to the Lord to enable us to work out and to persevere in the path of truth and to accomplish his will as he guides us. Whatever the difficulties, do not allow them to deter us. Trust God. He can enable us. He wants to enable us. But it will not be easy. But in the midst of it all, we will develop spiritual strength and stamina. We will grow tougher, more resilient, personal, together in church life. And the many aspects will come together in a very beautiful whole. And all that is actually part of the manifestation of the wisdom of God. When we learn to work out church life well and be faithful to him. So I said we'll look at this in more carefully in greater detail subsequently. Then the next aspect is that at all times we must each one look to the Lord to help us to fulfill the part he desires of us in the expression of body life. Each one of us must do that. Not just looking at others, whether are they doing their part. Yes, we are concerned for others. We will pray for them. We will encourage them. And that is part of fulfilling our part. But each one must concentrate on fulfilling his part well. Otherwise, you'll be deceived by the evil one. You'll lament this, lament that, and then you'll fail to do your part well. And then when there's a reasonable number who are doing their part well, God will have the freedom to continue to work. Yes, there'll be failures, but if the heart is set in this way, God will help us. And the next related aspect, as we learn to fulfill our part well, is the next point is to learn to encourage, to uphold one another, and not to be a stumbling block to others because of our own deficiency and failure. Yes, sometimes we are faithful to the Lord, but people misunderstand and we can't help it. We know the Lord Jesus perfect, at times people still stumble at his teaching, at his ways. I'm not talking about that kind. But when we stumble others because of our failure, we must take care not to do that and to be very sensitive to the Lord so that he can indicate to us whenever that takes place. Because God takes that very seriously. We are to build up. But if we are stumbling others, we are destroying the lives of others, we are hindering others, that is the opposite. And it's the opposite of love that builds up. So this leads to the next point. It is important that we pray, we look to the Lord, that there will be a spirit of love and unity that pervades the expression of body life. That is very important. Not just profess with our lips. I'm thankful that over the years, the Lord has been working. And there's a certain degree of meaning and reality in the hearts of the brethren, but we need to continue to look for to purify our hearts and to nurture a deeper love. And then to understand the spirit of unity. What it involves, how it comes about. And in more recent times, when we consider this subject in the Wednesday study sessions, in the summing up, I have covered a number of sessions. For those of you who are interested, you can refer to that. But this principle of unity, very, very important. And the spirit of unity and love that pervades body life, it will be a strong defense against the wiles of the evil one and hinder him from working, as well as facilitate God at work. And finally, these are not exhaustive lists, but some points which are important that we need to continually work at. There is a true faith and prayerful dependence on God in every aspect of our lives and the expression of church life. I say true faith because we may say faith, but true faith rests on the truth. So when there's truth, we walk in it, we persevere, that is faith. Trusting God, depending on Him, to guide, to enable, constantly in every aspect, and especially in major issues, and a very major aspect would be the expression of church life. So now we come to the end of today's message. Some encouraging concluding words are recorded for us at the end of the book of Exodus, which fittingly will also be the conclusion of this message, and that is God's presence and guidance, Exodus chapter 40, verses 36 and to 38. These are the last three verses in the book of Exodus, and it's what an encouragement to us. When the Israelites, they obeyed the Lord, they constructed, they erected the tabernacle, and various aspects associated, they followed. And that is there for us to learn. What happens? We saw God's glory fill the tabernacle. And then verse 36 tells us, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel were set up. So you see, it is still associated with people in the tabernacle and how God was working. So these three verses, verse 37. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. In the last verse 38, for throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. God was with them. God's presence was with them, and God was guiding them. And not only that, the Israelites responded. This is the big picture. And these are important principles and also encouragement to us, as I said. But if you go through the details, you'll find that actually the Israelites failed in many ways. But this is a broad, big picture for us. So likewise, when we work out church life in the way God desires of us, just as the Israelites, they obeyed God, how they constructed the tabernacle, when we also seek to the Lord, we understand and we seek to work out, then we can be assured God will be with us and He will guide us. And this is crucial. The Lord must be with us. He must guide us. Otherwise, no matter how what we try to do, it will be futile. But when as God is with us and He guides us, we must then move and act accordingly. When we recognize what God desires, then we must respond positively. So this continuing consciousness of God is vital, personal and together. So looking to Him to guide, to enable, to undertake in all aspects of our personal lives and our working together in church life. And we must be careful not to depart, no departure from God's ways and God's guidance. Instead, acting according to our own cleverness, our own natural capabilities, and all this we may quite easily recognize ought not to be this way, and you ask Christians, generally they will agree to all this. But in reality, how much of Christian living and even Christian work, an expression of church life, how much of it is actually according to human natural cleverness intelligence and capabilities. Along the way, I've mentioned, as we seek to work out, in the past, when I talk about the posture of God in truth, how it's central, we start from there and continue from there to work out. But not according to our own thinking, or just according to popular opinion, according to what people say, or according to what appears to work, according to what is expedient. It looks good to work, do it this way, that way. We must begin with God and His revelation. Yes, within the framework of the principles of truth that God has revealed, within that framework, there is much that we need to exercise ourselves prayerfully how to work it out. So God wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Our mind is included. Every aspect of our being is to be included in our total response to God and faithful outworking, including using our minds. But it needs to go through the principle of the cross, not according to our own natural capabilities and thinking, but in union with God, in union with Christ, united with Him in His death and resurrection, in fellowship with Him, not according to our own natural thinking. We'll stop here for today. Even as we conclude this part about the construction of the tabernacle and associated issues and what we can learn from it in relation to our working of church life, let's now spend some time to prepare our hearts before we partake the Lord's Supper. And let us prayerfully look to the Lord, that He may impress deeply upon us the importance of seeking true insight into the major issues of life as revealed in the scriptures, and especially the meaning and the major issues in relation to church life. And as we look deeper into this area, we will find that it involves all the other major areas and issues. But we need to set our hearts to understand the truth, to form deep convictions, and not to easily be distracted or waver from what God has shown to us. We do not yet have the total picture. At times, there are certain things that may puzzle us, but those things that are clear, we must persevere and look to the Lord, that in His grace, He will continue to reveal more, and He will have the freedom to speak to us, to guide us, to enable us. And He has assured all those who love Him that He will not forsake us. The Lord Jesus says, He told the disciples, "I will be with you to the end of the age." He will be with us as we walk with Him. Let us also ask the Lord, as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, to help us to recognize what are the negative things in our hearts that we need to put away, what are the positive areas we need to set our hearts upon to work at, and how our lives can be an encouragement to one another, how we can uphold one another. And all these are meaningful things to concentrate upon in the preparation of heart and even as we partake the Lord's Supper. Intentions towards each one of us, because we are your children and Christ has died for us, redeemed us. And we thank you also for your kind intentions toward us and the expression of church life and body life. We pray that you'll be pleased to grant us insight into the truth you revealed in the scriptures. And even as You've shown us, recorded for us, how the Israelites responded to what you've communicated, revealed to Moses, and constructed the tabernacle just as you commanded Moses. And then how your glory filled the tabernacle. And so we also know that it's your desire that your power, your glory, your wisdom be manifested in the expression of church life and body life. We pray that you will help us to know how this can take place and how to move in that direction. To set our hearts to understand, to gain spiritual insight into what you reveal in the scriptures, how your purposes can be accomplished, the centrality of the role of the expression of church life, and the major truths and principles you reveal so that we will work out accordingly and not violate them, and the practical outworking to continually look to you for the guidance and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, that you help us to know how to persevere and not be deterred nor distracted. Not deterred by the wiles and attacks of the evil one, not distracted by the things in this world that evil one uses to draw us away from you. Thank you for church life. We know it is difficult to work out well, but we thank you for your assurance that you will be with us. It is your desire, and you will bring it about as we set our hearts to obey you. And so our confidence rests in you, what you revealed and what you desire to bring about. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine, and we ask that you wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, strengthen us as we partake together in faith. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's